April 6th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. As the verse says, God is invisible, but does not mean that he does not speak. He spoke through Moses, Aaron, Gideon, and also spoke through prophets like Ezekiel. He spoke through many people, but in the end, he spoke through his own Son, Jesus, who also created the world. Jesus was born in the flesh 2,000 years ago, but he also said he was before Abraham. And when he said that, the Jewish people got offended, saying that he was not yet 50 years old, but claimed to have met Abraham. But the Lord has been there from the beginning of time, so the world was created through him. And God has appointed Jesus as an heir of all things. Being an heir means that he has received God's inheritance. It is like we receive our parents' inheritance. I have not dealt with this issue since my parents did not leave us anything. I am not complaining. They raised us and put us to school, and then that itself is a hard thing. And I am grateful for what they did. You realize it only after you become a parent yourself. So not leaving the inheritance is not a big issue here, but there are people who receive earthly inheritance from their parents. And let's look at the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We are a co-heir with Christ, and also the church is bride of Christ. Bride, a wife, also has the first right to receive the inheritance from the husband. So, as the Romans 8:17 says, we are joint heir with Christ. We don't know exactly what we inherit, but since Paul says present suffering is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, I choose to trust his promises. The promise is great, but the Bible also mentions about present suffering. But our inheritance must be so great, since the Bible emphasizes many times about the spiritual inheritance to God's people. I am not stressing our need to suffer or pain or persecutions only, but the Bible also definitely talks about those things. So I don't want you to be unaware of those challenges. The usual sisters came to the seminar yesterday and told me that they have read my book, and they felt like they were prompted by God to share the book with some pastors, and they handed the book to those people. But they received a lot of criticism after having done so, since those pastors have very different doctrines. And the sisters were so shocked to see such negative reactions from these people. I was not shocked to hear that at all, since I am so used to the criticism and the cold shoulders. If people don't like what I preach, that is perfectly fine with me. If I get persecuted for being a bad person, that is one thing. But if I get persecuted for writing a book which I believe was prompted by the Holy Spirit, or distributing the messages, I count that as joy, because your work will be counted in heaven. I got persecuted for pointing out the problems of Toronto Blessings, and I also preached about the wrong interpretation of the Great Tribulation by pointing out that us being lifted up before the tribulation is wrong. I got persecuted by that. But I believe I am doing works of the Lord. And I believe that this suffering is for us to share God's glory in heaven. This is not me saying This is written by Apostle Paul, so we should be confident in our work even when we face persecution. Hebrew verse 3. His Son, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We should not only look at the external life of Jesus Christ, a life He led as a man, being born in Bethlehem, preached the word of God, but hated by many religious leaders, ended up being betrayed even by His own people, and being killed in the end. But there are more to that. And this section talks about what happened after His death. We need to know both aspects of Jesus, His life as a person, as well as the glory He has received after the resurrection. I also looked up the part expressing image of His person in Greek. This Greek word used for this passage was character. So Jesus was born as a man to express the characteristics of God. Speaking of character, do you know that each city tried to come up with their own cartoon character or mascot? Funabashi City has a character called Funashi, and Nara has some cartoonish character called Sentokun. And it looked like Buddhist monk with deer horns sticking out from his head. And people got mad because he was a strange and ugly character. But people would see the character, a monk with deer horns, and they would know that Nara City is a place of Buddhism and with lots of deer. A character helps you to know what the city is about. And Jesus had a characteristic of invisible God. So when you read the Old Testament, it is very hard to see who God is, and He often appeared to be very harsh. So God came in a human form, and from the way Jesus lived, from His word, and from His actions, we know what God is like. He had the character of God, so we should be very thankful. And Jesus was full of love, like what He did to the woman who was caught in adultery. People asked Him if she should be stoned, and He wrote something on the ground, which I think was the law. And when He finished writing, he told those men to throw a stone if they had no sin, and they all left one by one. That is the characteristic of God. He does not take any joy in punishing people. He wants people to be saved from sins and condemnations. So we should be grateful that Jesus demonstrated the traits of God in a way we could see, because reading only the Old Testament makes you confused. We human need something visible to understand the invisible God. Hebrew chapter 1 verse 4. Having become so much better than the angels, and He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. When we talk about the earthly inheritance like money, land, and the house, we encounter many stories about sibling fight, conflict. I myself had no problem because our parents left us nothing. But this happens to many people. Like conflict between Jacob and Esau. And it seems like same thing is happening in the heavenly realms over who is going to receive the spiritual inheritance from God's kingdom. And the fight over the spiritual inheritance is between human and the angels. The Bible does not say so clearly, but this is the impressions that I get from various places. But the verse says that Jesus has become so much better than the angels after the resurrection and is seated on the right hand of God. And because of Jesus, He has given us the right to be higher than the angels too. And not only for us, but for all the humanity, but especially those who follow Christ and become a partaker of His suffering. The following verses are all about the difference between the Son and the angels. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels he says, "Who makes his angels spirit and his ministers a flame of fire?" So Jesus inherited the name and the honor after the resurrection. And because he is in us, we are also given the same right as he has. And as the verse says, the angels are now ministering people. It is like Esau and Jacob. And Esau ended up ministering Jacob. So the table is turned. And we are ministered by the angels, for we are above the angels in the next life. Our position now is like little brother Jacob. So we are still in a lowly place now. But in the time to come, we will be promoted to be higher than the angels, like Jacob becoming higher than Esau. But we should not forget that we are still lower than the angels in the spirit realm, because when I went to Isejingu and declare a fight against the spirit who rules the shrine, I got beaten up badly. So don't think that we are above them now. This is the promise for the next life, but not for now. Esau did not bow down to Jacob, his younger brother, in his lifetime. Esau submitting to Jacob all happened after their lives. So the promise of our place in regards to relationship with the angels is for the life to come. And it is important to note that this favored younger brother was often attacked by the older brother, like Esau tried to kill Jacob. Same thing with Cain and Abel in Genesis. So we are now like the younger brothers who are persecuted by the older brothers. But we have the right to receive the inheritance because of Jesus, who became higher than the angels, or angels of darkness. So they are furious and try to kill humankind, especially when they know that we have come to the knowledge of Christ and we will surely inherit the promise. Although we will reign with the Lord in the life to come, for this life we should still live humbly as a servant. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 24. And when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, but to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus washed disciples' feet or gave bread to the hungry people. Jesus came to this world to serve others, but after his resurrection, he was seated at the highest place on the right hand of the Father. We have to be like that too. So we have to serve to be honored in the kingdom. We all have a desire to be honored by people, but we have to remember that Jesus was not so. He was misunderstood even by the disciples. So we have to remember that true serving might not come with honor from people. What we do here on Sunday is called service because we serve people and we serve God. And we serve through our messages, through our seminars, and publishing newsletters. This is not for money, but I believe that this is a direction God has given us. And we are given a vision to build churches in other areas too. If you desire to have the privileged place in the kingdom, we have to go lower in this life, like Jesus did. I don't think you can have both. privileged and honored life in this life and privileged and honored place in the life to come. I think we have to choose one, but the latter one is an eternal life, so it's better now to live as a humble servant, which was the way Jesus lived while on earth.